We closed last year's association meeting with this statement. Quote, "This is the close of an era," close quote. And this morning, allow me to make this statement. Quote, "We are now in the beginning of a new era," close quote. And this new era demands that each individual must see and hear with new distinctiveness and understanding. Jesus said, quote, "Let him that readeth understand," close quote. And the prophet Jeremiah said, quote, "What seest thou?" close quote. If we read and see from the material sense of things, there will be discord and dismay. But if we read and see from the spiritual vision, then there will be serenity and peace. We make our own choice. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus prophesied this present event, or this present war. But he did not prophesy it as calamitous to those who look up above the sense testimony, or to those who lift up their heads, that is, lift up their thought to approximate truth. True enough, he saw that all material human concepts would vanish from the human mind. He saw that even the powers of heaven would be shaken. That is, all mortal minds' established methods and customs and traditions and values would be shaken and give place to a new and higher order of things. In this prophecy, Jesus stated definitely and without question that at that present time there would appear the supremacy and reality of good, and there would be the disappearance of evil from the world. According to Jesus' prophecy, this event is to be a triumph for truth. Reality will be recognized, and there will be the perception of the nothingness of nothing. Jesus said, quote, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory," close quote. Matthew 24:30. The coming of the Son of Man signifies that the demonstration of Christian Science is at hand. The Son of God is reality, or is all creation as it is. The Son of Man is the human proof that all these realities are at hand. And the human proof, or manifestation, will approximate the perfection of these realities according to the degree that our individual thought individualizes divine science. The coming of the Son of Man is not the coming of a person, or the coming of something visible or spectacular, something outside of ourselves. No, the Son of Man appears as higher, truer qualities of thought within ourselves. It is a great spiritual evaluation of the good that makes up our consciousness. We can in no way disconnect or disassociate the coming of the Son of Man from God. The coming of the Son of Man is God's presence appearing humanly, and is man and the universe seen and known according to our highest comprehension of their reality. Referring to our present time, our textbook says, quote, "As material knowledge diminishes and spiritual understanding increases, real objects will be apprehended mentally instead of materially," close quote. Science and Health, 96:27. Jesus set forth clearly and definitely What should be our attitude of thought in these latter days? And why we should have this attitude of thought? He said, quote, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads." Close quote. Why? Quote, "For your redemption draweth nigh." Close quote. Luke 21:28. Our redemption from what? Our redemption from the false concepts, the veil which has darkened man's vision and which is done away in Christ. Christ, the truth about all things, is our Redeemer, and our redemption is at hand. We do not look at the destruction of matter as the destruction of something, but as the passing away of the false material concept of substance. This false concept of substance hides the omnipresence of man and the universe of reality. How readest thou? How seest thou? Instead of viewing the present time with dismay, Christian scientists should assume their divine responsibilities. These may present themselves as human responsibilities, but since we know that they are divine and mental, they should be joyous responsibilities. Each of us can, and should, assume the responsibility of handling the errors in his own thinking. We should do just this, as if we were the only one upon whom rested the responsibility for the correction to be made. In this way only do we work out our own salvation, and at the same time aid in working out the salvation of the world. At this present time, we are leaving the era of a personal mind, and are being forced to rise to the demonstration of the divine mind. The material resistance to this rise from a personal mind to the divine mind is great. Those who depend upon personal mind alone can no longer demonstrate even ordinary sustenance. We have the example of how personal mind has planned peace and brought us war. The so-called mind of man has planned for abundance, and yet millions are in want. Among the many spiritual values revealed to this age, there is none greater than the revelation that the intellect of man is not primarily human or personal, but is primarily divine intelligence, although as yet imperfectly disclosed. The Son of Man, which is divine intelligence, is coming to this age with great power. This is an incoming age of power and action, and dominion and works. The great need of the Christian Science movement today is not so much of the letter, but the power of spirit, less teaching and talking, and more instantaneous, permanent healings. We are leaving the talking age for an incoming age of power and works. We all know far too well that the human personal mind has done much talking along every line, Christian Science included. There has been much talking in public affairs. There are talking congresses, talking legislatures, talking peace conferences, wordy diplomacy, etc. In business, there are reports, sales propaganda, human opinions, etc. All talk. No doubt this talking age has fulfilled its purpose. The human mind has learned that talking is easier than seeking divine guidance, easier than action and works. But man is also learning that talk does not produce actualities and is not a substitute for actualities. God is demanding of us dominion and power and action and works. To what extent are we preparing ourselves for these higher demands? In reality, what is taking place in this age is what takes place in every Christian Science treatment. With the exception that what takes place in the individual consciousness through a treatment is now taking place in cosmic or universal consciousness. And this that is taking place is the appearing of the reality of ever-present good and the disappearing of all so-called evil. At this present time, we are witnessing the ascendancy and supremacy of good, and the powerlessness and nothingness and self-destruction of evil, even though the sense testimony is to the contrary. We would be mightily discouraged if we did not understand this great and vital truth. Every event in so-called human history has been for the triumph of truth. This is clearly seen in what frequently appears as a war of conflict. But what, in its actuality, is the demonstration of the omnipotence and omnipresence of good and the powerlessness and nothingness of evil? We read in our textbook, quote, "The manifestations of evil, which counterfeit divine justice, are called in the scriptures the anger of the Lord." In reality, they show the self-destruction of error or matter and point to matter's opposite, the strength and permanency of spirit. Christian Science brings to light truth and its supremacy, universal harmony, the entireness of God, good, and the nothingness of evil. Close quote. Science and Health, 293-24. It also says, quote, "The breaking up of material beliefs may seem to be famine and pestilence, want and woe, sin, sickness, and death, which assume new phases until their nothingness appears. These disturbances will continue until the end of error, when all discord will be swallowed up in spiritual truth." Close quote. Science and Health, 96:15. The end of any error will come to us individually when the error becomes extinct within our human consciousness. When we give a Christian Science treatment, there should be the extinction of some particular error, and the extinction should be permanent. Yes, wars which are purely error will continue until the cause of war is exposed and vanquished and made extinct in human consciousness. Our textbook says, quote, "Mortal error will vanish in a moral chemicalization." Close quote. Science and Health, 96:21. Moral chemicalization is taking place at this time, and the errors of mortal thought are vanishing from human consciousness. In the coming age, human consciousness will be characterized by moral excellence, that is, our manners, customs, habits, conduct, and ways of life pertaining to the action of men and nations will spring from man's natural sense of rightness and propriety. We all understand that man's natural sense has its source in divine principle, love. Therefore, man's natural sense will show forth the qualities of graciousness and mercy and justice to all. Since mortal error is vanishing in a moral chemicalization, it is fitting that we understand the nature and character of chemicalization and what produces it. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "What I term chemicalization is the upheaval produced when immortal truth is destroying erroneous mortal belief." Close quote. Science and Health, 401-16. According to this definition, our present so-called war is a chemicalization or an upheaval produced by immortal truth destroying erroneous mortal beliefs. And what an upheaval seems to be taking place as, quote, "truth urges upon mortals its resisted claims," close quote. Science and Health, 223-29. There would be no chemicalization or upheaval at this time were it not that the claims of truth are being resisted to the very hilt by mortal mind. The word chemicalization is usually associated with the process of fermentation. But in Christian Science, chemicalization is purely mental. That is, it is taking place wholly within what is ordinarily called the human consciousness. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Mental chemicalization follows the explanation of truth, and a higher basis is thus won." Close quote. Science and Health, 453-8. She also says, quote, "Mental chemicalization brings sin and sickness to the surface, forcing impurities to pass away." Close quote. Science and Health, 401-18. Again, she says, quote, "By chemicalization, I mean the process which mortal mind and body undergo in the change of belief from a material to a spiritual basis." Close quote. Science and Health, 168-32. From these definitions, we readily see that chemicalization is occasioned whenever we change our erroneous human concept of persons and things to a spiritual and true concept of persons and things. Some may ask, is chemicalization necessary? It will take place just so long as there seems to be both truth and error, both good and evil, in our consciousness. Chemicalization is the natural process we undergo in our change from belief to truth, or it is the transformation of the human to the divine. But this change or transformation should be effected without pain or aggravation to either mind or body. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "This chemicalization should be painless if it were not for the seeming material resistance to truth in our consciousness." Close quote. Chemicalization produced by the action of absolute truth, when absolute truth is poured into human consciousness, is a belief which cannot be ignored. It needs much more consideration than most workers in Christian Science give it. Many Christian Scientists in their practice work and in their work concerning the world's problems fail to recognize the need of handling the claim of harmful chemicalization. Mrs. Eddy unmistakably indicates that chemicalization should be dealt with through the realization that divine love expressed is the only presence, power, or consciousness. In the process of the appearing of real civilization, the old civilization chemicalizes, and a new and higher civilization appears. Real civilization has never failed, but the pretense of civilization has failed miserably. Nevertheless, a mere pretense of civilization is better than barbarisms. Without civilization in some degree, we would have no Christianity and no Christian Science. Someone may ask, is this chemicalization which is brought about by the revelation and demonstration of Christian Science so severe that it is destroying civilization rather than redeeming it? Surely we do not believe that the practical demonstration of Christian Science could produce harmful chemicalization. Rather, should we take the attitude that we have the ability to care for any chemicalization that seems to be produced through the demonstration of Christian Science. And if in our work our thought takes on something of the grandeur of God, this true thought or truth will take care of any situation that may arise. Civilization will not be destroyed. Government will not be destroyed, and the reason they will not be destroyed, but appear better unto their perfection, is that they are already reality. They are already perfect and established in the mind of God. True civilization and true government cannot be imposed upon by any individual. Civilization and government are ideas of mind and must eventually spring from within. Our science teaches that man, self-governed by divine principle, is ideal government. This mind of government is neither capitalistic nor communistic, but is exclusively and inclusively Christian. This real government seems quite remote if we look to the testimony of the senses. But looking within, each one of us may establish divine government, and each one of us may exemplify divine government, and in so doing, we hasten divine government for all mankind. Only Christian scientists understand the import of these days. With our pure thought, we are looking through and beyond the mists of war, which is merely an appearance of evil, and are glimpsing war's underlying reality, a new and true civilization, a new and divine government.